Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I spent maybe 20 minutes scrolling through my news feed this morning, and I have to be honest with you, I felt like I was drowning.
Oh, yeah.
It's just noise. Every single headline is the same thing. New generative model released. AI can now write your emails. AI can now make movies. It feels like the entire tech world is absolutely burning with this fever to automate, well, everything.
It's the era of infinite leverage. You push a button, you get a result. You push it again, you get a variation. It's just relentless.
It is. And usually on this show, we are right there in the fire. We love unpacking the new models, seeing how they change the world. But today, we're doing something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at what I can only describe as a rebellion.
A very expensive, very calculated rebellion.
We're diving into a project from Sony called Sons of Spartan. Now, if you just glance at the gaming blogs or, the headlines, you might think, okay, cool, Sony is making a new video game. But the sources we have today, the internal analysis, the tech breakdowns, the strategy memos, they are painting a very, very different picture.
A much bigger picture.
They aren't calling this a game. They're calling it a political artistic statement.
It's really a line in the sand. Sony is looking at this tsunami of AI content, this era of abundance, as the analysts call it. And they're basically saying, we're not going to swim in that.
They're zagging while the rest of the world zigs.
Exactly. The sources frame this as a clash between silicon and soul. And to understand it, we have to talk about some proprietary tech that sounds, honestly, it sounds like sci-fi.
Things like temporal depth injection and neural shadow synthesis.
Right.
Which we will get into. And trust me, I was reading the notes on the engineering stack and my head started spinning. So I'm going to need you to break that down.
Happy to.
But the core mission of this deep dive is to answer a simple question. In a world where AI creates abundance, where content is cheap and infinite, why is Sony betting the farm that we're all going to start craving scarcity?
It's a question of the decade, really.
So let's start with the why. Because from a purely business perspective, this doesn't make sense on paper. AI is cheap. AI is fast. Why would a massive corporation like Sony turn its back on the most efficient tools in history?
To answer that, you have to look at the economic argument in the analysis notes. It starts with a concept they call the strategic Sora rewrite.
Sora, as in the video generation models.
Right. The analysis argues that generative AI is, at its core, an engine of abundance. If you can generate 1,000 variations of a fantasy landscape in, 10 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
What is the value of any single one of those landscapes?
I mean, it's basic supply and demand. If supply becomes infinite, the price should drop to zero.
It's inflation, but for art. The source material uses a really aggressive phrase here. It says generative models are devouring traditional formatting.
Devouring.
Yeah. They normalize everything towards the average.
I think I know what that means. You see it with AI art now. It's so smooth. It's technically perfect. The lighting is always dramatic. But it all looks kind of the same. Yeah.
Precisely. It lacks the jagged edges of reality. So Sony's strategy with Sons of Spartan is to engineer the opposite. They are manufacturing scarcity.
Right.
They're betting that if they can prove a human being labored over every single pixel, that product stops being just content and starts being a luxury good.
So it's a difference between buying a print at IKEA and buying an original oil painting.
Exactly.
The IKEA print might technically be perfect. The lines are straight. The colors are bright. But the oil painting has texture. It has errors. It has intent.
Intent is the key word. The sources emphasize that this project is about unparalleled control. With AI, there's always a little bit of a slot machine mechanic. You prompt it, you pull the lever, you get what you get.
You just hope the hands don't have seven fingers.
Right. But with the method Sony is using here, nothing is accidental. It's a deliberate rejection of that chaos. They are trying to position handcrafted as the ultimate premium tier in the digital age.
But here's where I get a little skeptical. Because handcrafted usually means slow and tech light. Indie developers making pixel art in their basements because they can't afford 3D engines.
Mm.
But Sony is a tech giant. They aren't using paintbrushes here. They're using some serious heavy metal.
That is the paradox of this whole project. They are using the most advanced silicon on the planet to simulate the feeling of a time before that silicon even existed.
Okay, so let's get into the weeds here. The report mentions a specific technology stack that powers all this. And the headline feature is this temporal depth injection, or TDI. Now, be honest with me. Is that just marketing speak for good graphics?
It really sounds like buzzwords, doesn't it? But looking at the technical breakdown, it's actually a fundamentally different way of rendering an image.
How so?
Okay, so think about a standard modern video game. You have a 3D model, a wireframe skeleton of a character, you put it in a 3D world. The computer calculates the geometry and how light hits that geometry. It's all math.
Right. Polygons and ray tracing, all that.
Exactly. TDI, according to the breakdown, isn't about geometry. It's about spatial resonance.
Okay, you're losing me again. Spatial resonance. That sounds very abstract.
Let's try this.
Yeah.
Think about the difference between looking at a photograph of a room and actually standing in that room. In a photo, everything is flat.
Sure.
When you're there, you feel the air, the distance, the weight of objects relative to you. Even high-budget 3D games often feel like moving through a vacuum. Everything feels a bit floaty.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Like the character skating on the ground instead of stepping on it.
Exactly. TDI is designed to inject that feeling of weight back into the image. And the way they do it is fascinating. The source describes a flowchart for the rendering architecture. Step one is raw input, 2D assets.
Wait, strictly 2D, like drawings?
Flat, hand-drawn art. They aren't starting with 3D wireframes. They take these flat drawings and pass them through something called a 4D layering engine.
Okay, hold on. We went from 2D to 4D. I'm assuming the fourth dimension here is time.
Mm. In a way, yes. This is where the hardware comes in. The report really highlights the use of the PS5's NPU accelerator.
The NPU, the neural processing unit.
Right. Now, usually games run on the GPU, the graphics card. That's the muscle. It lifts the heavy weights of rendering millions of polygons. The NPU is more like the brain's intuition.
So the GPU is the bodybuilder and the NPU is the, what, the artist?
The NPU is the part of the brain that predicts patterns. So Sony is offloading the physics to this neural brain. They use something called neural shadow synthesis. The NPU looks at the flat 2D drawing and it predicts. If this drawing were a real object, how would it cast a shadow? How would light bounce off its coat?
So they are using AI. I thought this was the anti-AI rebellion.
Ah, but look at the distinction the source makes. It's subtle, but it's crucial. They aren't using AI to generate the character. The robot isn't drawing the art.
Okay.
The robot is just holding the flashlight.
Okay, that is a crucial difference. The robot isn't the creator. It's the gaffer on the film set.
Exactly. They are using the silicon to enhance the handcrafted art, not to replace the artist. The neural network is calculating the physics of the atmosphere to give a flat drawing depth, making it look 2.5D.
2.5D, high fidelity. That's the term they use in the report.
And did you catch the note about the code base? This was my favorite part of the technical deep dive.
Yes. Sony's GitHub legacy code.
Yeah.
I saw that and I actually laughed.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It sounds like they're raiding the vault. Like, yeah. They went down to the basement and blew the dust off some old floppy disks.
That's essentially what they're doing. They're digging up old optimization algorithms, stuff that was written 10, maybe 15 years ago for older consoles, code that was written when memory was incredibly limited.
Why would you want old code?
Yeah.
Wouldn't new code just be better?
Not necessarily. Old code is disciplined. It was written by humans, line by line, to solve very specific problems because the hardware back then couldn't handle waste.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, hallucinated by a large language model that just throws code at the wall until it works.
So it's efficient.
It's razor sharp.
Right.
Marrying that disciplined, human-written legacy code with this modern neural engine, it's like putting a Formula One engine inside a vintage muscle car chassis.
Oh, yeah.
It just reinforces the whole philosophy. Human intent over machine probability.
Okay, so they have this vintage meets future engine. But I want to push back on the result for a second. 2.5D. We live in the era of the metaverse. Massive open worlds VR where I can literally pick up a virtual cup and throw it.
Right.
Why on earth would Sony, with all this power, restrict the game to 2.5D? It just feels like a downgrade.
The source calls this optimization mania.
Which sounds like a condition you need medication for.
It might be, but think about the cost of a full 3D world. When your computer renders a 360-degree environment like in a big open-world RPG, it is doing billions of calculations for things you can't even see.
Right, the trees behind my head.
Trees behind the camera, physics simulations 3 miles away, water flowing in a river you haven't even reached yet. It's wasteful.
It's a mile wide and an inch deep.
Exactly. By locking the perspective to 2.5D, they can engage in what the report calls direct-to-eye latency minimization.
Direct-to-eye.
Since they know exactly where the camera is and it never moves freely, they can devote 100% of that NPU processing power to the pixels you are looking at right now.
So instead of rendering a mediocre forest, they render a perfect tree.
a perfect leaf, a perfect shadow on that leaf. It allows for that spatial resonance we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
They're challenging the standard that more dimensions equals better graphics.
Interesting.
They're arguing that better pixels equals better graphics.
It's almost like a stage play versus a movie set.
Go on.
On a stage play, the audience is fixed in their seats. You don't need to build the back of the house on stage. You just need the front to look absolutely incredible.
That's a great analogy. It's a stylistic choice to maximize impact. And it really drives home that theme of control. Generative AI is broad, messy, and infinite. Sons of Spartan is focused, sharp, and finite.
And this focus isn't just an artistic choice. According to our notes, it's a political one. There is a section here labeled the ideological enemy.
Yeah, this is where it gets spicy.
The source explicitly mentions a clash with the OpenAI doctrine. Now, they aren't saying they are going to war with Sam Altman personally, but they are positioning themselves against a specific philosophy.
Right. This comes from the Tekken game analysis section. The OpenAI doctrine essentially represents the push for universal automation. The idea is if data exists, it should be trained on. If content can be generated, it should be generated.
It's the Silicon Valley mantra of frictionless creation.
Correct. And the source warns that this approach is devouring traditional formatting.
That word devouring keeps coming up. It sounds ominous. Is that just, you know, dramatic writing, or is there a real point there?
Oh, it's meant to be ominous. Think about how LLMs work. When you use a model like Sora or GPT, it works by probability. It tends to average things out.
Mm-hmm.
It pushes towards the mean. It eats unique, jagged structures and spits out something that looks correct according to the data.
But art isn't supposed to be correct.
Exactly. Art is often about the mistake, the weird choice, the anomaly. AI pushes anomalies away. It lacks a specific soul or, well, intent.
It lacks the jagged edges of human error.
Or just human choice. Maybe I want the shadow to look wrong because it sets a mood. And AI fixes the shadow because wrong is a statistical error.
Right.
Sony is positioning Sons of Spartan as a bulwark against this. By refusing to use generative pixels, by sticking to that 2D to 4D pipeline, they are preserving the integrity of the artist's specific intent.
So when you play this, you know that the weird lighting in the corner isn't there because a probability algorithm hallucinated it. It's there because a human being decided it had to be there.
Correct. And that is where the politics comes in. In an industry that is currently rushing to fire concept artists and hire prompt engineers, Sony is making a product that says, no, the artist is the point.
It's a rebellion against efficiency. Or at least efficiency at the cost of soul.
And that leads directly into the psychological aspect of their strategy, because here's the hard truth. You can't sell soul if the audience doesn't feel it.
Right.
You can have all the manifestos you want, but if the game isn't fun, nobody cares.
The source brings up psychological analysis, nostalgia as a strategic asset. Now, usually when we talk about nostalgia in games, we mean, oh, look, it's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right. Remember the 90s. Please buy this.
But this seems deeper than just referencing old characters.
It is deeper. The expert interpretation here isn't about IP. It's about leveraging the feeling of the pre-AI era.
The texture of the pre-AI world.
Think about the internet 5 or 10 years ago. It felt different. It felt occupied by people. Now, when you go online, there's a growing suspicion, a paranoia almost, that everything you read or see might be synthetic.
The dead internet theory.
Exactly. Sony is betting that nostalgia is actually a craving for human connection.
So the 2.5D style, the handcrafted animation, it's a signal. It's telling the player, a person made this for you. You are safe from the algorithm here.
Precisely. The nostalgia acts as a trust mechanism. It tells the user that this experience is safe from the devouring nature of that OpenAI doctrine. It's a safe harbor.
And they're timing this move very specifically. The global market impact section mentions the 2027 horizon.
2027, that's the date to watch. Sony is playing a long game here. They aren't just reacting to what's happening today.
Right.
They are predicting that by 2027, the market is going to be flooded with what the internet calls AI slop.
Just an ocean of mediocre, machine-generated content. Movies made by prompts, games made by bots.
And in that ocean, the market will swing back. They are betting that by 2027, people will be exhausted. They will be desperate for soul, and they will be willing to pay a premium for it.
It's the artisanal cheese shop effect.
Just give me.
You know what I mean? The massive supermarket sells cheap cheddar blocks by the ton. It's efficient, it's cheap, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the little shop next door sells hand-aged Gouda for 3 times the price.
Yeah.
And people buy the Gouda. Why? Because the mass-produced stuff has no story.
That is actually a perfect comparison. The more artificial the world becomes, the more valuable the authentic becomes. Sons of Spartan is setting itself up to be the leader of that artisanal countermovement in tech.
It's fascinating because it flips the usual tech script. Usually, better technology means more automation. Here, better technology means better tools for humans to do it the hard way.
That's the key takeaway. They are using the NPU and TDI not to make the work easier, but to make the human work shine brighter.
So let's wrap this up. When we look at the whole picture, the NPU tech, the 4D layering, the political stance against the OpenAI doctrine, what is Sons of Spartan, really?
Sons of Spartan is a technical marvel disguised as a retro throwback. It uses the absolute cutting edge of neural processing not to generate content, but to elevate human-created content. It is a proof of concept for the idea that scarcity creates value in an age of abundance.
It forces us to really look at what we value as consumers. We say we want better graphics, but maybe what we really want is better connection.
And we have to vote with our wallets. Do we want the infinite, cheap abundance of the machine? Or are we willing to support the expensive, scarce output of the human hand?
That brings me to the thought I want to leave you with today. We talked about that 2027 horizon. As AI begins to generate infinite content, movies, games, music, are we heading toward a world where human-made becomes a luxury label?
Like organic on food packaging.
Exactly. Will we eventually reach a point where we pay a premium just to know that a human being actually touched the thing we are consuming? Or will we just stop caring as long as the content is entertaining?
I think Sons of Spartan is the first big test of that question. And I think the answer is going to determine the future of the entire entertainment industry.
Something to think about the next time you pick up a controller. Thanks for diving in with us.
Always a pleasure.